Greetings. Urban Buzz Magazine is proud to present oft-published poet and author Lynn M. Ross, creator of Priestess in a Stained Glass Cathedral, a heartful, soulful, lyrical, poetic tribute inspired by the legendary Nina Simone. Greetings, Brother Lynn. All right, so let me ask you, what's the genesis of this book of poetry? Did it start with a song, an image, a verse, or all of the above?
To be honest with you, Nina Simone is one of those artists that sort of haunts you as long after you stop listening to her. And being a writer, I wrote a poem as if she were still around, as if I was speaking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that poem became something that I posted on Facebook. And the editor and publisher of a magazine contacted me and thought perhaps that I should be focusing more on Nina as far as an entire book would go.
That's excellent. Okay. Do you remember your first impression on the first time you heard her music or saw her on television? Was it circa Ed Sullivan or Soul Train? Yes.
I wish I could tell you the very first time or where I heard her, but I do remember thinking, who is that singing?
Mm-hmm.
Is this woman? Because I felt hypnotized by her voice. I felt drawn in.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if that was on Soul Train or Ed Sullivan or whatever, but I think I might have been a downstairs neighbor when I lived in my childhood. Mine is 8 or 9.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same for me. I know. I mean, I looked for it. I don't believe Nina Simone was never on Soul Train, given the state of radio and records. She wasn't on there. But also, surprisingly, she was never on the cover of Ebony or Jet or even Black Stars magazine. Never.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It's
especially for the time that she was popular, you would think that would be a bit.
Well, all I can say is that somebody thought, hey, we need to sell here, and maybe they thought that did not sell. But like you, Nina was always present in my life. I think I've mentioned that To Be Young, Gifted, and Black was the first beat of sheet music I ever had before I even knew how to play the piano. That was it. Did you ever get to see her live, experience her live, I should say?
I really wish I had. I think the timing might have been a little off. I was a little bit too young to be getting into the concert hall when she was performing.
Yeah,
know,
yes.
Had I had a more attentive adult around, I definitely would have done that. That would have been a part of my wish list.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I remember I was a teenager when I first saw her. I took myself to Atlanta Symphony Hall. And it was quite an experience. I mean, I remember her walking out and looking at the audience and saying, they tell me that 80% of my audience is black. And for that, I thank you. And then she turned on a heel and headed to the piano. And there was a huge back and forth debate with some people in the audience. And at one point, the police even showed up in the wings. And, you know, she started screaming to us, yeah, don't let these margarine farmers get me. Don't let them get me. You know, it was years and years before I knew that they were probably sent by the IRS to collect.
She had a very definite pro-black stance.
She had a definite pro-black stance, and she also had, by the time I saw her, which was the 70s, mid, late 70s, she also had some serious financial constraints that she had nothing to do since she wasn't her own manager. She didn't know anything about that. But, okay, so which of Nina's recordings are most essential to your life soundtrack?
Wow, there's so many, and for so many various reasons. The first one that comes to mind is I Put a Spell on You.
Put a spell on you. Cause you're mine.
You better stop the things you do. I ain't lying. No, I ain't lying. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, Daddy. I can't stand it 'cause you put me down. Yeah, yeah. I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
I'm just guessing that this happened for you as it happened for most people who grew up black in this country. The high school assemblies, every Black History Month, the interpretive dance group would come out before women, all dancing to Nina Simone. There was Saffronia, there was Aunt Sarah, there was Sweet Thing, there was Peaches.
Unfortunately, I only heard about those situations.
Yeah, it was most definitely a thing. And that don't let me be misunderstood. I mean, I've read countless times, I think I've even heard it from Nina's lips, that it was written for her. I don't know, but she says that it was. And much to her chagrin, it actually became a bigger hit for the Animals, certainly in the UK. And that was always a running thing for her, that other people would take her songs and make more money from them than she actually would. But you and I still associate it with the source, and that would be Nina Simone.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that she had the magical ability to turn any song that she recorded into her song. Sometimes it was the very first time you heard it, so obviously you associate it with her. But there are times when she would sing something that had been around for years, and then when she put her stamp on it, it became Nina's song.
Yeah, and that comes from, I think, like any true artist will definitely have a point of view of their own, not one that they sampled, not one that they borrowed, but a point of view of their own, and then you get to hear what they have to say about it. I mean, you know, Screamin' Jay Hawkins had his thing with I Put a Spell on You, but, you know, Nina was not going to be coming out of a coffin to scare people while she's singing the song. You know, Even My Baby Just Cares for Me, wow. Okay, I will say this. I don't know that people even know it. It's from a 1928 Broadway show called Whoopi.
Wow.
And there's even a...
Underneath.
And
then you realize, okay, that song's been around for a while. She just put her own twist on it.
Yes. Yeah. And these songs do live on and on. They have quite a history. There was a movie of Whoopi made, and I think Eddie Cantor, the old movie star, was the first to sing it on film. And unfortunately, it's all mostly in blackface. But that's the history of, I actually don't even think Nina Simone knew that it had just become a part of Americana at that time. Yeah. But that was the origins of that. Yeah, like you said, there are so many. When did Too Young Be, To Be Young, Gifted, and Black come into your?
Probably around the time that it actually hit, when Aretha was singing it.
Mm-hmm.
Around the early 70s, I guess.
Yeah.
1970 or 71.
Yeah.
I think at the time surprised that Nina had written it, because I think the very first time I heard it was by Aretha. And when I heard Nina's version, I thought, oh, this is very different than Aretha's.
Yeah.
It seemed more about him when Nina sang it.
Yes, well, you know, it's Nina's music, and Weldon Irvin, another extremely unsung musician. Nina was his mentor. He was a musician on his own. And so that was their anthem. But not only Aretha, Dionne Warwick, and of course, Donny Hathaway's version of it. It's quite a way. Nina even went on Sesame Street and sang To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. I remember children sitting on a stoop. And she's looking at them, and they're looking at her, and she's lip-syncing To Be Young, Gifted, and Black. It was quite a moment there. Quite a moment.
You know, that was a very, very impressive time for children. And the fact that some of our media was open to having Black role models or Black icons doing things that were going to affect children in a positive way speaks volumes. You know?
Yeah. And
that was not always the case.
No, it wasn't always the case. It reminds you of a time when things seemed a lot more promising. Nobody who was back there ever thought we would be here in this moment, 2022.
Exactly. You know, digression come along. Like when, I thought we were supposed to progress. Digress.
Yeah.
Digressing to the point where it's like nothing that we had imagined would happen for us on a positive as more. Has become a reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, is there a particular poem, or is there something you would like to read from us, an excerpt, or it's your choice?
From the book.
Yes.
I would think probably a part of the poem of When Nina Sings would probably fit best, because it describes her effect on me, and I'm not any listener who becomes a woman participant into the spell she weaves. It goes a little something like this.
Okay.
When Nina sings, a part of me feels entrapped by the poetry of her sadness, swayed by the sensitive muscularity of her vocal cords, and I cannot escape. When Nina sings, I enter stained glass cathedrals and golden temples of voodoo priests and priestesses, where once baptized and saved, another dark angel gets its wings.
My skin is black. My arms are long. My back is strong. strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. My name is Aunt Sarah. Aunt Sarah. My skin is yellow. My hair is long. Between two worlds, I do belong. My father was rich and white. He forced my mother late one night. What do they call me? My name is Sophronia.
Read just a brief excerpt from your preface. This book of poetry was inspired by the amazing and legendary goddess that is Nina Simone. The fact that she even existed is reason enough for her to be forever celebrated, whether in song, dance, theater, film, literature, and yes, in poetry. Now, Priestess in a Glass Cathedral. I think it's a wonderful way for people to immerse themselves in the Nina Simone mystique. I think your poems open the door to a path with treasures every step of the map. All one has to do is take the journey, just walk the walk. They have to hear versus listening, as you say in the book. With many of the tributes, and I welcome them, I really do welcome them, but there are so many concerts, even film bios that seem to be misinformed. And the thing, as you said before, how Nina can take a song and make it her own, Well, each of us has our own soul song. We have how we walk through the world, how we relate to things, and poetry will assist you in that journey. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah, poetry will assist you in that journey. You don't sit down and go, oh, Nina's life story. All right, I saw the film. That's all it is I have to know about her. Good. No, you'll never know all there is to know about Nina Simone, people. You know, or about any of us. So, I guess that's my pet peeve. I lean more toward documentaries these days than film bios because it seems somewhere along the way, as soon as a famous person dies, sorry to say this, but a lot of musicians will joke, uh-oh, here come the singers with their songbooks. They got their new show. You know? And that's fine. That's fine if one has actually listened. But...
And you have to worry about the Hollywoodization of certain lives anyway.
Well, exactly. It's never meant to be the definitive be-all and end-all. I think of it as an appetizer. I think of it as if it interests you and it inspires you to go out and get Nina Simone and listen more and more, then it's a win-win situation. I believe we probably both came along at the same time. So without listing films, there were films that we saw, we went, oh, wow, I want to know more about the person that's being honored or portrayed here. And so you got both things. Now I am not quite so sure. That's not what I'm hearing. I hope that things get better, but I'm not quite sure. I find your book of poetry towards Nina Simone quite refreshing and quite true. Sometimes if I see things on television, there'll be a group of singers, and I'm going to do Nina Simone, and it doesn't matter how long you hold a note or what high notes you hit. Nina was a master of intent.
And she was a storyteller,
too. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's about. You know, there's another poet that has a new project. And there is a tribute to Nina Simone on it. She wanted it there. And she actually sings it, even though she's no singer. She's singing Night Song from Golden Boy, which was a Broadway show with Sammy Davis Jr. But Nina also sang it. And that poet is Nikki Giovanni. Because they were friends.
Exactly, I've read that.
Yes, they were truly friends. And though Nikki is not a singer, you know, and she says that, she says Nina and her mama are up there in heaven laughing at her, look at your girl trying to sing, you know? But it works because it's honest. Do you know what I mean? It's honest. It's heartfelt.
From a real place.
Exactly, yeah. All right. So anyway, has music always been integral to your craft? I mean, is music always?
Yeah, sometimes I listen to music as I'm writing. Other times it's like I had a song in my head as I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my stuff is very musical, I've been told, you know, and it comes that way, honestly.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, I've read some of your books as well, and music is always in there, always a part. You incorporate jazz in a way few others do, and that's wonderful to see. It's our history.
Nina is one of those artists that makes you really have to digest the history of America and her place in it.
Yes, and we're all the richer for it. I thank you so much for spending this time with us, and hopefully this will not be the last time. Thank you very much. Please, people, do yourself a favor. Pick this book of poetry up. Read it. Enjoy it. Absolutely. We will leave a link in the article that goes with this interview. All right, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the honor.
All right. Take care. The honor's all ours. Thank you. Bye-bye. Urban Buzz Magazine has been delighted to spend some time and some talk with Lynn M. Ross, author and poet of Priestess in a Stained Glass Cathedral, dedicated to the wonderful Nina Simone. It's available at Amazon now. And in case anyone is wondering, we've been treated to some musical clips from the great Nina Simone. I Put a Spell on You, the classic for women. And we opened as we are closing with To Be Young, Gifted, and Black.